From Moscow, the news, first the headlines. Russia's foreign ministry says reports on spy arrests in the U.S. contradictory. A large part of the U.S. aid to Afghanistan lands in the pockets of corrupt officials. Russian tennis player Maria Sharapova has made it to the list of most influential celebrities, according to the Forbes magazine. Those were the main points, now the news in full. Moscow sees as contradictory reports on the arrest in the United States of a group of people accused of spying for Russia. RIA Novosti news agency quotes the Russian foreign ministry as saying the report needs to be further clarified. Other comment has been unavailable from the foreign ministry. Earlier, the U.S. Department of Justice reported detention of 10 people on suspicion of spying for the Russian intelligence. Yet another purported spy is on the wanted list. Charges have already been brought against the accused, and the first hearings have been held at the New York Federal Court. All arrested have been denied release on bail. The Justice Department has posted on its website information about the snooping mission of the arrested, but the local news media point out that the website information does not make it clear what kind of intelligence the arrested gathered and whether their effort proved harmful to U.S. national security. Russian President Dmitry Medvedev is due to meet the government and legislative leaders today to take up this year's budget message to the Cabinet and Parliament. The annual document features the purpose and objectives of the nation's financial and economic policy, the purpose and objectives that proved determinative in drawing up a federal budget. Beefed-up support for innovation is expected to become the key issue of the current message. Besides, Medvedev said that the document features a number of issues related to development of the Russian armed forces, specifically the funding of the state armaments program until the year 2020. Until last year, the president's budget message was sent in written form to the government and parliament and also carried by the mass media. However, Dmitry Medvedev has changed the tradition, and now he personally reads out the highlights of his message. Two more national teams have made it to the quarterfinals of the World Football Championships in South Africa, specifically the teams of Holland and Brazil. The Dutch beat Slovakia 2-1, with Arjen Robben scoring in the first half. Wesley Sneijder scored another goal for Holland in the second half. Slovakia retaliated by scoring an equaliser in the stoppage time, but that was the best they could manage. In another game, Brazil routed Chile 3-0. So in the quarterfinals, Holland will take on Brazil. Bookmakers bet on Brazil, but many experts beg to disagree. Iran should bow to the international community's demands and prove that its nuclear program is peaceful in character, says Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. He was speaking during a meeting with his Israeli counterpart Tzipi Livni. Lavrov added Iran should strictly abide by the relevant UN Security Council resolution and the IAEA decisions. Russia's ambassador at the United Nations, Vitaly Churkin, said for his part that Moscow is opposed to unilateral sanctions against Iran. According to him, the restrictions in the UN Security Council resolutions imply the need to abstain from the imposition of more sanctions. Russia is holding the year's biggest Army and Navy exercise, Vostok 2010, in Siberia and the Russian Far East, with up to 20,000 servicemen, 70 aircraft and 30 ships involved. The exercise will help find out just how combat readiness of the troops has been affected by a switchover to the one-year military service, as well as by the new system of training and brigades. The exercise, held under the command of the Chief of the Russian General Staff, Nikolai Makarov, is due to draw to a close on July the 8th. On Monday night, the Russian spacecraft Soyuz got detached from an international space station segment and docked with another Russian module, Rassvet, or Dawn, following a half-hour flight. The spacecraft was manned by cosmonauts Fyodor Yurchikhin, Shannon Walker and Douglas Wheelock. Experts have thus made the key of the Zvezdan module available for the Progress cargo spacecraft that's due to dock with the module on the 2nd of next month. The spaceship will blast off from Baikonur Space Center on June 30th. A 24-hour general strike against the reform of the insurance pension system is due in Greece today. Taking part of both the public and private sector employees, passenger and freight trains will grind to a halt for 24 hours. All home flights are cancelled. Many state agencies will stop work. The strike is due in all major cities of Greece. Nine Russian companies have been put on the list of the world's 100 biggest defense contractors, made by the authoritative U.S. Defense News Weekly. Some of the nine are the Almaz-Antey concern, the Suhoi Aviation Holding, the corporation's tactical missile armaments and MiG helicopters of Russia, Uralvagonzavod, the production association Sevmash. According to the Weekly, it used the financial information from the companies to make the list, which is topped by the U.S. Lockheed Martin Corporation. Last year, Lockheed Martin earned in profits $42 billion. A large part of the U.S. aid to Afghanistan lands in the pockets of corrupt officials or is channeled abroad. According to the Wall Street Journal, over $3 billion in cash has been taken from Kabul Airport abroad in the last 3 years. The amount also comprises the blackmail and marketed opium money. According to the U.S. investigative agencies, high-ranking Afghan functionaries, including members of President Karzai's staff, are engaged in illegal transactions. Three businessmen won control of the daily Le Monde, one of France's most influential newspapers. These are Pierre Berger, partner of the late fashion designer Yves Saint Laurent, founder of Free Telecom Xavier Niel, and Mathieu Pigasse, head of the investment bank Lazard in France. The trio has already introduced a financial management plan for the newspaper, which lost a total of 130 million euros by the end of 2009. Tennis player Maria Sharapova has become the only Russian who made it to the Forbes annual top 100 of the world's most powerful celebrities, topped by Oprah Winfrey. Due to her injuries, the 23-year-old sportswoman dropped from 76th to 86th place on this year's ranking with $22 million of income. Canon, Prince, Tiffany, Tag Heuer, and Land Rover are some of the many brands she currently endorses. Maria is a three-time Grand Slam champion, ex-number one of the WTA and the UN Goodwill Ambassador. And to round off the news, the main points again. Russia's foreign ministry says reports on spy arrests in the U.S. are contradictory. A large part of the U.S. aid to Afghanistan lands in the pockets of corrupt officials. And that's the news from Moscow.
The Voice of Russia World Service presents its regular feature Outlook. In today's edition, Russia and UK plan to improve relations. This and other topics in today's edition on Outlook. On the fringes of the G8 summit in Huntsville, Canada, Russia's President Dmitry Medvedev and Britain's Prime Minister David Cameron have signaled a thaw in relations between the two countries. We bring you a commentary by our political observer Sergei Sayenko. This was the first meeting of the leaders of the two countries, and it is quite explicable because David Cameron has only recently become British Prime Minister. As we know, the first meeting can influence further development of the relations on the political level, just like the first impression is often the right impression. I would not like to predict how Medvedev-Cameron relations will develop, but I think there are all grounds for serious cooperation. Both leaders are young, intelligent, and energetic. They set clear goals and know how to reach them. Now let's go back to the first meeting of the two leaders. During 1 hour meeting, they discussed bilateral cooperation, the Middle East issue, the situation with BP company, and the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Cameron reiterated that Britain supports the Russian initiative to hold an international conference on the Middle East. Speaking about relations between Moscow and London, the Russian president said the following.
Мы обсудили текущее состояние наших двусторонних отношений, пришли к выводу, что они требуют определенной корректировки. Договорились о том, что наши министры иностранных дел будут на контакте, и мы обсудим всю повестку дня, как в режиме консультаций между нашими правительствами, так и находясь в режиме персональных консультаций.
We have discussed the current state of our bilateral relations, Dmitry Medvedev says, and we have come to a conclusion that they need certain corrections. We agree that our foreign ministers will contact each other on a regular basis, and the whole agenda of the relations will be discussed during the personal meetings and on the governmental level. We agreed that the bilateral relations need personal attention of the officials, and this includes economic and other issues, the Russian president concluded. Indeed, the recent events prove that without the interference of the country's leaders, it is necessary to melt the ice in relations between London and Moscow. Unfortunately, old stereotypes are still dominating in relations between our countries. Let's take the mass media. In Britain, the mass media almost ignored the meeting between Cameron and Medvedev. Only BBC, giving a detailed report on the talks between Cameron and Obama, briefly mentioned the talks with the Russian leader. It seems like special relation between the US and the UK influenced the coverage of political meetings by the British press. But it seems to us that paying more attention to Russia, the British media could initiate the improvement in relations between London and Moscow, Foreign Secretary William Hague was talking about in an interview with Sunday Telegraph. Unfortunately, we often see that speaking about Russia, the British media often focus on the negative points, which distorts the image of our country. As for the Russian press, it has always showed keen interest in the life of Britain and tried to cover the events in the UK as fair as possible. Moreover, Great Britain is a country which historically had close ties with Russia. It should be noted that last Russian Tsar Nicholas II was related to the Windsor dynasty. That was a commentary by Sergei Sayenko.
Director of the Central Intelligence Agency, Leon Panetta, has given an extensive interview to the American broadcasting company, ABC, dwelling on the developments in the world's hotspots. Our political observer, Andrei Ptashnikov, comments. Unlike his predecessors, Leon Panetta frequently addresses conferences and appears before journalists. Once he said the continuing threat from Al-Qaeda was his greatest concern, which kept him awake at night. In another speech, when saying that the number of Al-Qaeda terrorists had shrunk dramatically in Afghanistan, the CIA director didn't seem to believe his own words. In the above-mentioned interview with ABC News, Mr. Panetta's answer to the question of Osama bin Laden's whereabouts proved a surprise for his audience.
It's been a while. I think it almost goes back, to the early 2000s that we had the last precise information about where he might be located. Since then, it's been very difficult to get any intelligence on his exact location.
So it was 10 years ago that the U.S. Secret Services made their first attempts to capture bin Laden. After the tragic events of September the 11th, 2001, the United States, determined to exterminate the world's number one terrorist, unleashed a war in Afghanistan. Back in those days, the CIA had no precise information on his whereabouts. Leon Panetta has also made a gloomy forecast regarding Iran's nuclear program.
I think they continue to develop their know-how. They continue to develop their nuclear capability. I mean, we think they have enough low-enriched uranium right now for two weapons. They do have to enrich it fully in order to get there. And we would estimate that if they made that decision, it probably would take a year to get there, probably another year to develop the kind of weapon delivery system in order to make that viable.
Previous estimates showed that Tehran needed at least 3 to 5 years for building nuclear weapons, if earnestly engaged in these activities, which cannot be proven 100%. Mr. Panetta may have obtained some new information, which other countries regard with caution. Russian President Dmitry Medvedev said on the issue at a news conference after the G20 summit in Toronto.
Что касается этой информации, то она требует проверки. Если будет доказано то, о чем говорят американские эксперты и спецслужбы, это, конечно, еще в большей степени напряжет ситуацию. И я не исключаю, что этот вопрос нам придется рассматривать дополнительно.
As for this information, it should be checked and verified. If proved, it will send tensions sky high. And I don't rule out that we will have to consider this issue additionally, the Russian leader said. It's no coincidence that the CIA chief adverted to this issue when it was discussed at the Toronto summit, given the U.S. intransigent stance on Tehran. Regardless of a resolution adopted by the UN Security Council, U.S. Congress twice passed unilateral, sweeping sanctions against that country. Since the move won no support from Russia and most other countries, Leon Panetta's statements sound like an attempt to sway the summit's dissenting parties. Commentary was by Andrei Ptashnikov.